Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to The Final Word. It is the Red Men TV and we are here to talk about Liverpool staying top of the table, which was already a foregone conclusion, to be perfectly honest with you. But we did it by gaining another 3 points against Crystal Palace. We are backed by The Athletic, of course, the home of football writing. Some great writers, Rafa Honigstein, who we've got an interview lined up for this week. Also Simon Pearce, Simon Hughes, James Pearce and the like. You can get 50% off your yearly subscription, taking it down to around about £2.50 per month by going to www.theathletic.co.uk/RedBenTV. The offer won't be on for too much longer, so make sure you do take advantage of that now. Anyway, to Steve Hoare, to Ben Kelly and to Ross Chanley, who joined me for this one. Tough old game, that, Steve.
Tough old game, Chris. I think you've put that very well. Liverpool have recently gone into this habit, haven't they, of not playing particularly well or having to grind out like late winners or equalisers and what have you. I think this was probably the worst they've played in all of those games. You know, United wasn't brilliant first half, but it was an improved second half. I don't think they were very good at Palace for the majority of the game. Like, we do create chances, but we were second best in a lot of areas, which I don't know whether it was the injuries or fitness or international break or just because the other team played well, which is allowed. You know, we just... It always felt like a slog from very early on, and you're just waiting for it to click, and it'll come soon, and we'll work our way into it, and it just never did. And in the end, like I say, we scored two rather scruffy goals. They miss an absolute sitter. So I think I don't think we got away with it because you've got world class players, and when you've got that in your team, the margin of errors is a bit bigger. But if I was Crystal Palace a fan, I would be thinking, you know, we probably should have got at least a point from that.
Ben, you watch a lot of football, don't you? And you know, I think that was probably the best Crystal Palace have played all season.
Yeah, I think it's difficult because Crystal Palace are in that cluster of teams where you don't really know who are going to show up. You know what I mean? Like, because obviously, really against Man City, they were quite poor. But then, you know, you go and watch. Obviously, I think they've put in a couple of good performances over the course of the season, and it's a bit like, you know, they're one of the teams with Bournemouth and Wolves who can kind of like rocket up the league and then drop down a bit. You know, West Ham at the moment, you know, my perception of them was that they were quite good, and then I've watched the Tottenham game over the weekend and they were absolutely awful. So, you know, and they're sitting 16th, 17th now. So you know, again, it's all about which players are going to show up. You know, they've got the likes of Zaha, who I think everybody perceives as, you know, as an absolute world beater, and he played quite well. But again, his goal scoring record has been quite poor this season. So you know, when you do go away to Palace, I think, again, the perception is it's a really tough game, but a lot of teams do actually win there. They're not brilliant at home, so I think it was important for us, especially having seen City won there quite comfortably the other week. Really, you know, if you want to, you know, be comparing our results all the time, it was important that we did come away. And yeah, Palace played really well, but you know, we took the opportunities. And I think that could be a really important 3 points for us going forward, to be honest.
Ross, why do you think Liverpool struggled in this game?
A combination of everything that Steve said before. I think, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the international breaks, but I think, you know, we lose our rhythm, you know, particularly coming off the back of a win against Manchester City.
Something Klopp said as well, that rhythm, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think we got a lot better at it over the past 2-3 seasons. Klopp had come back and we would have traditionally lost this game or drawn it, but we were at the stage where we're grinding out results now. I think, you know, rhythm's probably the key word in that, of everyone coming back and not knowing where they're at and kind of getting up to kind of go again. On top of Crystal Palace being, you know, a decent side and setting up fairly well, I think there's a perception, well, for myself, I've seen a Roy Hodgson side, and I just equate a Roy Hodgson side to what Roy Hodgson was at Liverpool, and therefore just perceive that they're shit. And they have got some good quality players, which, you know, Steve says they are allowed to play well. I think Van Aanholt's another good one who I think stuck out at the weekend. And I think he always changes as well when you're playing, like, Chamberlain starts out left wide. You know, it's that rhythm inside the actual squad as well. When you play the front three, there's that fluidity. But I think when you take one person out, I think it has a little bit of an effect on the whole team.
What did you make of the starting 11, Steve? Because, I mean, Ox does come out and he starts on the wing and stuff. And, you know, for me, I understand that Sadio Mane can play that right-hand side. But I always feel like Ox can't play that left-hand side like Sadio Mane. So if there's going to be two positions, because Sadio Mane doesn't play the right-hand side like Salah, you kind of, for me anyway, from the outside looking in, both positions sort of come down a notch. Whereas if you just played Mane on the left, at least you'd have him at 100%. And Ox would be a bit of a drop-off from Salah. Why do you think he does it like that?
In the build-up for the show, I was saying, like, I would have played Chamberlain and I'd have played him left. But that was because I thought Milner was going to be left-back. So I thought those two combined would almost give a bit of solidity on the left-hand side. But however, with Robertson now being fit, it wouldn't make sense to have just swapped them over. It's one of them, isn't it? Maybe in training all week they've been planning for, you know, maybe in training they've been planning for Robertson not to play. So all week in training, it's been Chamberlain on the left, you know, for a few days. And all of a sudden, Robertson's past fit, so he plays. Mm-hmm. But it might be a bit too late for you to then switch it around. I don't know if that's what's happened. But yeah, I'm with you. I wanted Chamberlain to play and I thought it was right to play him on the left, thinking that Robertson was out. Once Robertson was back, I would have just kept him and Mane on the same side. Again, I don't know how big an impact like the week ahead is, but if Liverpool have been practising all week with Milner at left-back, for example, and Chamberlain in front of him, and then Robertson gets past fit, he only trains one day, doesn't even get in the whole session, and he's in, maybe Klopp's going, well, we've been working on this all week, I don't now want to swap it.
My playing devil's advocate to that, I think you're almost giving a bit of disservice to how good Mane is at tracking back, because Mane's absolutely exceptional. And I think, given the lack of games that Chamberlain has played, I'd be more worried about Chamberlain, because can he get up and down?
Yeah, I was more thinking from a Wilf Zaha point of view, in that I would, again, I'd want cover for Milner on the left, but also was that Mane on the right to help Trent out a little bit against Zaha as well. Also, Chris, it's harsh on Chamberlain because he hasn't played enough football. It's such a bad injury. And when he's played and played in midfield, he scored some worldies, hasn't he? But he hasn't been, he even admitted himself, he hasn't been up to pace. So, and it's a hard one to go into, isn't it? It's a hard game. What I would say is that with the Mane from the right is that it nearly works a couple of times. Mm. You know, he has the chance, you know, for being over the top, the Van Dijk over the top cutting in. There was times there where it was almost right. I just feel like whoever's starting out wide in that front three, when it isn't one of the front three, it's always such a big note. You know, it was Origi at United, wasn't it? And it's been Chamberlain here. It is still an area of the pitch where you're like, you can see why the Sancho links, for example. You can see why you would want one more just top-class player, because there is still something missing. When Salah doesn't play, or Mane doesn't play, or Firmino doesn't play, the drop-off for me is still too significant for a side who, you know, I think are the best team in the world at the minute. I think we are, but you want that gap to be closer, and I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah. Ben, I think Steve's right, and it's a player Steve really likes, Zaha, don't you? I've done for a long time. I mean, I remember sitting here probably 2-3 years ago when rumours where he was going for 40 million, you were like, just bite the hand off and stuff. I mean, he's a player, although he gets his first goal of the season against us, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, he's a player who is a danger man, who forces Liverpool to make some sort of tactical tweaks. And the respect I think Liverpool showed him was, we dealt with him the same way as we dealt with Sterling. Mm-hmm. Henderson was the guy who was helping Trent Alexander-Arnold all the time.
Yeah.
And there was always two players against Will Zaha when he gets the ball. And, you know, Liverpool, that might have stunted them going forward, but certainly it helped us against Zaha, because, listen, he didn't score until Henderson went off.
No, he didn't. And I think it was clear that their game plan was a little bit of, you know, we've got Alexander-Arnold on that side. I think Zaha's had some joy out of Trent before, and they were looking to target, you know, if they tried to get Zaha on the ball as much as they possibly could. And yeah, you're right, we doubled up. And I think that's the beauty of our midfield in a way, in that particular midfield, and the way the 2-8s, if you like, do cover wide and you know, double up on wingers, I think is very effective, because obviously once they've got the ball, once they win the ball back, Henderson in particular is very good at spraying the passes all over the place as well from that position, so that, you know, that helps. And then you've got the likes of Mane in that situation, who's going to come and potentially track back and help out the cause as well. So, you know, for me, these are the tricky players that, you know, for me, I don't rate Zaha that highly personally. I think he's dangerous, but I think he's a bit like Adama Traore for me. I think he struggles with end product sometimes, and you know, that's my opinion. Obviously, he gets the goal in the end, but he's still very, very dangerous in terms of you don't really know what he's going to do next on the ball, and not in the same way that Adama Traore himself doesn't know what he's going to do next with the ball. But I think Zaha, you know, you can see with the goal itself, the way he fakes it and all that, you know, he's a very unpredictable player in that sense, and I think that's why the extra attention was shown to him.
I think Palace missed a little bit of a trick in that they didn't swap them over a couple of times. They didn't just spend 10 minutes with Townsend and Zaha on the other side, because Robertson's not fit, and he admits that, you know, he's playing through the pain. Townsend got a bit of drill to Robertson a couple of times, didn't he? And yet he has to come inside and he's trying to, you know, bend that one in. Like he can do, he's good enough to do it. I think at times, if they'd have swapped them over, they might have been able to get to the byline a little bit more. Maybe they didn't want to cross on him, because obviously we've got, you know, Virgil van Dijk in the middle, but I thought that when I was watching, I kept thinking, if I was them, I would just have a go, because they were actually both getting a little bit of joy. But you mentioned Henderson, who I thought was brilliant in a defensive role, was always covering Trent. You could have just threw Zaha on the other side and then asked Gini to do the same, and would he have done it as well? Maybe not, I don't know. He's obviously a very good player, but I think if you're a Palace fan looking at that game, there's little tiny bits all over it where you're like, you know, that could have been better. We could have saved the goal. We could have marked better on the other one. We had chances. Why didn't the manager? And again, I don't think Hodgson isn't a very good manager, so maybe he doesn't adapt. We've seen this, but I think a really high class manager would have spotted these things maybe quicker and done something about it. Where Hodgson's kind of like, he's going to try and grind you and wear you down. We're going to do this, and we're going to keep doing this and this and this. It nearly works for them, but I think a better manager might have been able to exploit Liverpool more.
Do you know the thing that I keep thinking as the season goes on is, when a team's going to not try and target Trent, because every team's targeted Trent and no one's won against us. Like, and is it now just a case of, well, everybody, like Hodgson's there, well, everyone's targeting Trent, he must be the weak link. I'm sorry, but I remember I listened to the Thierry Henry, Jamie Carragher podcast over the weekend, which is absolutely brilliant. It was the first one of the Greatest Game podcast. And he was talking about, Jamie was talking about Thierry Henry and how he's he used to go into games with him and he'd fear going into a game with Henry. He was the only player that ever got into his head. And he said, you know, I always felt like you got the better of me. And Henry went, it's dead easy for a striker, because you stuffed me many more times than I went past you. Because you could stuff me 9 times in a game, but it didn't matter if I scored that one and got past you once. So that's why it's easier for Saka. And I feel after listening to that, Ross, that's kind of what Trent's doing to players, is 99% of the time, or 9 times out of 10, he's getting the better of Will Saha. He's getting the better of every player he comes up against. And yet he's still perceived as the weak link.
I think it's 2 things. I think it's, once Liverpool have recognised it and they get Hendo and Mane or Salah-Rose on the pitch to go and track back to go and help him out, because I think you have to, like you said with Sterling before, you know, you have to recognise that these, and respect that these are quality going forward, and obviously first and foremost Trent is a defender, but it improves him. So it's the same as Joe Matip. Joe Matip got targeted for ages and now he's a better footballer because people are throwing 2-3 bodies at him because they don't want to touch Virgil van Dijk. Well, I've got an even better centre-half on the back of people trying to target him.
They're so training him up for us.
Well, basically, yeah. But then what's your other options? We'll try Trent. Well, he's trained up now and he's getting better. And you also have to take into consideration his age as well. You know, he's made mistakes before. And, you know, I think Rashford's probably the one that everyone looks at when he was, you know, up to 2 seasons ago now. Well, up to 2 seasons ago, we won trophies since then. You know, his confidence will have grown. He's got better as a player. He will have matured more. His decision-making will have got better. He would have learnt under Klopp, never mind, on the pitch as well. So he's improved as an all-round player.
I think what helps as well in that regard for an opposition is that they're trying to stay away from Van Dijk. So it's all right. You might be able to go, and like say, can we do something different? Can we go at Robertson? And you're like, yeah, maybe, yeah. But then if we beat him, we're going to run into this, you know, the best defender in the world, who's probably going to win the Ballon d'Or. Or do we want to beat Trent and then have a go at Dejan Lovren, or have a go at Joel Matip? I think it is the lesser of two evils, isn't it? You'd much rather fancy yourself from that. So I do think that's probably...
It's the same with Lovren as well. I think Lovren's got loads better. I don't know, he has his mistakes and stuff, but he gets targeted. And Aston Villa, you've sound. They always sound on Sunday as well.
There's always going to be... If I was game planning to beat Liverpool, I'd do this exactly, to be honest. I think I would go... I'd try and get in the channel between Lovren and Trent Alexander-Arnold, just because it isn't a weakness per se, but it's probably the least strength. I wouldn't want to go near Van Dijk because he's just too good. You'd have to try and stay away from him, and I think that's what happens to Trent a bit, is that he does very much get left on an island, or he has done in the past. You know, Salah won't do the tracking back like Mane does, like you mentioned earlier. But now I think Liverpool and Klopp and whoever have identified that, because in the last few games, you mentioned the City game as well, Ross, there's always been someone over, and it was clear the second the ball went out wide that Henderson knew his role. Very selfless of him, you know what I mean? He foregoes any attacking influence on the game, which again might impact.
We're just implementing what teams have done for a year and a half now to Salah.
Try and double him up.
That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
We're making sure that Hendo's there for the cutback.
Yeah.
And if they want to go to the byline, go to the byline, because we know we've got Lovren, who, like I said, the ball out. We know we've got Matip.
The goalie's fit, massive.
Van Dijk, Alisson. Yeah. But if you want to cut inside and take a shot, Hendo's going to be there. It's what they've done to Salah. It's not new that we're seeing here. Mm. So I think Liverpool players can recognise it. Yeah, and it's interesting. But the big talking point coming out of the game is obviously Liverpool, VAR again. People just lose their heads on these, Ben. And it's fucking hilarious, to be honest with you, because... And look. There's people who tweeted, Liverpool won't win a league game when VAR comes in. And there's people who tweeted, you know, Liverpool will get relegated when VAR comes in. And now everyone's tweeting it was brought in to help Liverpool win the league.
It's that meme,
title.
Isn't it, where there's the two buttons and he's, like, sweating over which one to press a little bit. But I don't understand how there's complaints about this. It's a foul. It's a push. And the thing is... The consistency, and I think one of the reasons it's given, the foul, is because the foul in the first place to give the free kick's dead soft. So the referee gives that, and then there's more of a foul on Dejan Lovren as the ball comes in. So I don't think there's no way that they could have not given that for me.
This is VAR working perfectly. Yeah. This is what it, of all the it's got its faults. It really has. You know, the Sterling goal or no goal, whatever. It's the time it takes, there are things that are wrong with VAR. This is exactly what VAR was for. It's the spot of foul the ref isn't going to see, because the ref's eyes are on the cross and he's following the ball and he just sees it. Gini Wijnaldum, Tompkins at the back.
And a man on the floor.
He's got no idea what happens there. It's just a foul. He just pushed him with two arms. If I was a Palace fan or a fan of an opposition team who hates Liverpool, which is, you know, 91 of the teams apparently, I think, at the moment.
90.
Who likes us?
Well, the Berry have gone.
They don't care anymore.
Yeah. Well, even they probably hate us not giving them money. I don't know. But whoever it is, I'd be fuming at you, because there is no way in a million years you are gonna get away with that anymore. It's just not gonna.
There's no need for it either.
It's stupid.
He's probably not gonna reach the ball.
There's ways of knocking Lovren out the way without just doing that. You can just lean into him, but you are always gonna get called on with VAR now. That is one of the things that it's going to stop. It's going to stop ALO's tactics like that. You are not going to get away with it. It was just absolutely brain dead from a fella who, you know, he misses a sitter earlier on and then he goes and does that. He's effectively cost his team out two goals.
Could you imagine how many penalties Skirt would give away if VAR was in?
Yeah.
Because that's all he did.
Yeah.
And you're right, absolutely. He wasn't that good, and that's it's kind of the same thing, is that you used to get away with it. And Liverpool have had players do this a lot. You know, every team has done the shithouseness around the box of blocking goalies and little nudges and stuff like that. That's all well and good. You cannot just think, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to throw this fella on the floor.
But why did the pundits stay or go? Well, you know, it shouldn't have been given, but there was a push.
Paul Mercer.
Because he wasn't anywhere near the ball. Well, he wasn't going to reach the ball, so therefore the foul for some reason doesn't count.
If I turned around and lamped you in the box, yes. Right, and I was nowhere near the ball and VAR spotted, they give it as a foul.
And you get a pen.
Yeah,
you're right. People are just idiots. Like, they are...
Are they letting their bias just completely... Or is it their bias against Liverpool, or is it their bias against VAR now?
It's their bias against VAR, and it's the lack of understanding of the rules of football. Mm. You do not need to be touching the ball to be fouled. For example, if Zaha is running down the left-hand side and Venteke's in the box and Van Dijk just throws him on the floor, it's a penalty. It just is. because he's fouled them. It doesn't matter where and where the ball is. It's absolutely irrelevant. The best one was Liverpool. I've seen a few things like, you know, yeah, it's a foul, but he wasn't going to get. He wasn't in. I was like, the sentence should stop after the word foul. Yes, it was a foul. Full stop.
Yeah.
It does. Everything else doesn't matter. Yes, it was a foul. That's it.
But this is the kind of thing that VAR should hopefully, maybe this will be a good example of it over the weekend to the rest of the. That's the kind of thing that they should stop, you know, because they went through a phase, didn't they, where I think it was Mike Dean in particular just started giving a load of penalties for holding the box. But, you know, if the message starts to get to players that, you know what, pussies like you're just not going to get away with them anymore, and there's a fine example of it at Jordan Ayew on Lovren, it should stop things like that because. It is just a fact. It's a direct attempt to try and stop Dejan Lovren playing the ball. So, if everybody just plays fairly, they're not going to have goals taken away from them. That's how it should work, and that's hopefully the way VAR, you know, continues to have a good impact on the game.
And also, if it was so clear cut that he wasn't getting the ball, why did he push him?
He pushed him
because he thought he might get the ball. Is ultimately what happened. Now, he didn't know that Wijnaldum was going to have a superhuman leap rush and be able to flick the ball onto Tompkins' back stick to wrongly put the ball in the back of the net. It is what it is. It just makes me laugh, to be honest with you. I think it's an absolute fucking disgrace that people are even arguing about it. And you know what? I will admit that I have, over the years, said exactly the same things about Manchester United, by the way. As an opposition fan, if VAR was in then, I'd be calling VAR for everything when Manchester United were winning league titles or were top of the table or were winning trophies. I've called them lucky, I've called them jammy bastards, I've called them fucking all kinds for the amount of late goals they've scored and all that. It's because they were good, ultimately. I've always understood that they can't jam themselves for 13 league titles. It just doesn't happen. They were good, and the sooner people start to recognise that Liverpool are good, and they're making their own luck, and they're not giving up, and they're continuing to go and win games late, the better we'll all be.
Yeah, it's the narrative from other people doesn't help. Like you said, pundits or, you know, the likes of Perry Hands, who says like it's a terrible decision and stuff like that. Duncan Castles, people like that who complain about it. It's been a succession of decisions that have gone for Liverpool. But those fans that are saying that ignore the Bobby Firmino armpit offside or, you know, the Chamberlain.
The Origi foul.
The Origi foul and all this other thing. So it's like, the VAR,
the massive
Newcastle
one as well.
Yeah.
Who had good and bad for both, but they just choose to see it through one way. And I mentioned the Paul Merson thing. He did a 180 within the space of like 40 seconds or something, and he said exactly the same thing. You're going like, oh, it's not. I think he said it should be a goal, and he's like, oh yeah, but he's fouled him. And I'm like, well, you just said he's fucking fouled him, you dickhead.
You know what's mad is that I can't think of a VAR decision Liverpool have got that was that controversial. Like, we have been helped by VAR a decent amount, but there's nothing I think that is happening.
There's nothing.
There's nothing as bad as like I thought the Firmino one was bad. I think City have had a couple against them in other games which have been.
Is it the Mane penalty? People probably kicking off about, but he was kicked.
Yeah, that's one where it's not going to get overturned. You know, we got done in Napoli, didn't we? Where the fella probably dived on the floor and stuff. I don't think we've had an absolute shocker go for us. I think what's happened is we have had VAR help a lot. You know, Chelsea get a goal disallowed, Palace get a goal disallowed, but the Chelsea one was offside and this lad fouled this lad. It's just that I don't know. I don't get the fume. I think it is at the moment. People are, for whatever reason, just reluctant to like and give credit to Liverpool because you're lucky or you're jammy and they all hate our fans and, you know, there's videos going around of why do you hate Liverpool, blah, blah, blah. That's all it is. It's just that there's a reluctance to give this team and these players and this manager any credit for...
There's nothing else they can say about them.
You can't get 97 points and you won a European Cup, but as soon as VAR comes in, you're knackered. OK, here's VAR. Well, the only reason you're top is because of VAR. Maybe they're just dead good at footy. Maybe we've got one of the best managers in the world and seven lads who have nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Maybe that's why Liverpool are top of the league.
And take the maybe out.
Yeah. No, that's the facts of it. It wasn't luck. It was a foul. That's it.
That's so funny,
even
though.
Fucking Roy Hodgson said it was a foul.
I know, yeah, that's been swept under the rug a bit, hasn't it?
I don't believe a word he says, to be honest, Ross, so maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, maybe it is a foul then if he said it.
Okay, we'll move it on then. We've talked a little bit about the first half. Let's talk about the second half. We obviously go in, it's 0-0. We come out, second half starts 4 minutes later. Steve Mane scored to put us ahead. That's now 8 goals, 2 assists and 13 Premier League appearances for Sadio Mane. And in a team full of world-class players, is he the most important at the moment?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, especially attacking, I think, again, I'll always back Van Dijk, but in terms of our attacking player is, and he's just like, again, he's such a threat. I was thinking, the commentator was saying, he's scored in his last 5 games against Palace now, so they obviously hate him. We've had those players, haven't we? We've had the Johnny Walters and the Jamie Vardy, Sergio Aguero, every time we go to City, where you can almost guarantee they're going to get a goal, is that they must feel the same way about Mane, who... It's probably, you know, it isn't the best attempt he'll ever take, you know.
I don't know, it's impressive to roll it down your kneecap onto your shin and into the goal.
He reacts well to the ball because it looks like it's meant for Firmino, doesn't it? And he does right. It's just it's kind of a reflection of their performance in that it's scruffy, but it's just about good enough. And that's kind of summed up the whole
just
of the game.
Just got over the line.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, it was just like, yeah, it got a bit of luck. It wasn't meant to happen. It kind of rolled down his leg. The goalie should save it. You know, it's one of those where you're just thinking, if you're a Palace fan, you're thinking, not him again. It's like, again, John Walters would do it, or Vardy would just score like a random goal, and you think, oh, for fuck's sake. And it's kind of that again. It's like, he was destined to score against Crystal Palace because he always seems to score against Crystal Palace.
What do you think it is that's changed in Mane?
I think... I don't know. It's difficult. I feel like I've said this before on shows. This when last December when we played Napoli at home, and we beat them 1-0 and we went through. Mane had about 5 chances and we should have won that game 3-4-0. And ever since then, that game felt like a real turning point. Ever since then, I feel like his finishing has become a lot more clinical. I feel like his energy on the pitch has gone up another level, and he's all round just looked a lot more dangerous. At all times. And I don't know whether in particular, you know, that game was a turning point for him, and you know, he went out and he's spending the hours working on his finishing or whatever. It's just felt that since then he has gone up a level in his game, and whether or not it's because at the same time Salah's gone through a couple of dry patches himself, and that's made us pay more attention to Mane, whether it's the fact that Salah's reputation brings a little bit more space to Mane, but I think that probably was the case at some point, but I think by this stage, I look at our starting 11, and when Salah wasn't fit at the weekend and when Salah wasn't fit against Man United, it's now my thought process is, well, I'd probably rather Salah not be fit than Mane, personally, because I just think he's a little bit more unpredictable, and in the sense of, again, you know, his finishing's gone up, but I just feel like he's got that little bit, the Southampton goal away, where he cuts inside and it's all done. It seems to all be done in the space of one movement, where he cuts inside and he's hit it. Same against Newcastle at home. Salah, for me, I don't know, sometimes I feel like he can be a little bit easier read by defenders. And, you know, when
Salah's on form, sorry to interrupt, Salah is Robin, Arjen Robin. Mm. That you know exactly what he's going to do,
but you can't stop him.
Yeah. Whereas Sadio Mane isn't that. Sadio Mane, as you say, will do something that you're Manuel Neuer, ask him about if he thinks Sadio Mane is unpredictable, and he'll probably give you an answer of yes, fairly unpredictable.
Yeah. I think there might be two things to it. I think one, footballers get better around this age. When he's 27, he's at his peak. You'd always say a footballer's peak years are, 25, 29. He's right in the middle of that. So that's one thing.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think the emergence of Robertson's helped him a lot as well in that. He's in between the posts and all. No, look where he gets that ball. He's in the middle. He's in the box. He's in the middle of the goal, and he's there because because Robertson's there to provide the width. You know, when we had James Milner playing left back, or maybe Alberto Moreno, just nowhere near the standard of what Andy Robertson is. Mane's game would be to pick the ball up, kind of what Salah does now, pick the ball up and drive into the box. Now he's in the box, but he doesn't have to take the ball with him because we break. And Robertson's that's Robertson's job, and Firmino's in there creating gaps as well. So Mane can just get himself in between the sticks, and that's why he's scoring more goals.
I mean, going back to Ben's point, sorry, I'll come back on to you, Ross. Then going back to what Ben was saying, it was like December last year. He said the Napoli game. I looked into his XG and stuff, and obviously people will know who are subscribed to the RedmenTV.com that are massively into me football stats and stuff. Now I looked 2 seasons ago, and he underperformed the goals that he was expected to score. Last season, he overperformed the goals he was expected to score by about 5 or something. This season, he's on about par for doing that again. He's about 2.41 goals up on what he's expected to score. So there is something, I think, in what Ben's saying there with he just seems to be more clinical. Now, I don't know exactly the same as you, Ben, whether he is working on it, but there certainly seems to be, I don't know whether it's like coupling it with his performances and him talking outside the game. There's a belief and a drive and a determination that I think he might have more than anybody else. Yeah. I think he now truly believes he can achieve everything that he wants to achieve at Liverpool Football Club. Yeah. And he is striving, like everyone else in the squad, to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly evidence to suggest that, isn't there? You know, because how many games this season have we seen crucial goals? You know, from Sadio Mane, the Villa corner. You know, where he's just that extra little bit of, as you say, drive and determination to reach that ball and get the right connection on it to put that isn't just talent. That's just want and belief and
bravery.
You know, to get in there in the 94th minute. You know, to bury that. I think he's quality, and you know, obviously, everybody in that squad. I think the other thing is not just Mane having won the Champions League in June, and I think seeing that bus parade, I think really does elevate what they think about the club to another level. To the extent of they'll all be absolutely desperate now to win this Premier League title because they know how much, you know, the legendary status they're already at. I think they now all have a bigger picture because it's difficult for us as fans to appreciate that. I think they all now have a bigger picture of what kind of levels they'll go up to if they deliver this league.
Go on, Ross, I interrupted you, sorry.
No, that's right. I think it's everything the lads have said, and I think if you look at his attitude change, I think, because Salah came in and won the Golden Boot and they were joint last season. I think that's healthy competitiveness that Trent and Robbo have got. I think Mane have got that, and I think it's all down to his attitude and his belief, like the lads have said. But you love to look at like the Burnley game. You know, he gets substituted and he's pissed off because, you know, he hasn't been set up to go 4-0 up. I mean, that's the attitude that you want of someone who wants to go and win stuff, and I think that's carried on from winning the Champions League, like the lad said, in the Super Cup and stuff, and just coming so close to winning the Premier League. I think he knows they can do it if he take those extra things and extra gambles and give an extra 10% by putting, you know, your body on the line or doing whatever. And also the fact that, you know, we mentioned Salah has 2-3 people around him all the time. We can't mark both of them all the time. As we said, pick your poison. Was Lee Sally round, and he's unpredictable as well. So, you know, we could have Robbo go around the outside, but he might go inside, or he doesn't need Robbo sometimes. He's just like Southampton, he'll just do you. He's a quality player.
And listen, coming back straight to you again, Ross, Firmino really should have killed that game off, shouldn't he? Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know how you say the lad's name, but I'm going to go with Guaita. Made an absolutely brilliant save. I think when I was watching it on the telly the first time, they showed about 3 angles and I couldn't see a touch. It wasn't until I watched Match of the Day where I realised that he actually did poke it round the post. But I thought that was him And I'd like to know your thoughts on this. I thought that was in with a poor finish. I think the finish is absolutely brilliant and the save's world class.
Yeah, it just seemed a bit unorthodox, didn't it, to try and toe poke it, you know, particularly when he had, you know, the space and the time to probably open his body up a little bit and put it in one of the corners. But
give a little R2.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe even a little chip, you know. He looked this time as well. I mean, that's where he went wrong, because he was looking what he was doing. But again, it's, you know, it is a good save. I first saw it and thought he did save it. It's another one of those where you think, you know, he had a chance, I think Manny had a chance earlier on, maybe to put the game to bed. I think he went 1-1, he put it wide.
That was before 1-0.
Yeah.
Oh, that was heading those two ball, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my days.
When that starts happening, and still, you know, we should know different. The players don't have the same mentality as particularly me, going, oh, this is the game where we're going to draw. This is kind of one of them, because we need to take those chances. And, you know, you think, oh, Crystal Palace will come back, particularly the game was going, we weren't great, they'll come back and punish us, but, you know, credit to the goalkeeper.
I disagree a bit in that. It is unorthodox, and again, it is a great save, that's correct. I think he has to score that. I don't think he needs to toe it into that, try and do what he does. He could just put it back to him with his left foot. I don't think, or just bend it round him a bit.
That's the point. If you bend it, it goes round the keeper's hand.
Yeah.
I don't think he set it out and it comes back.
Exactly, I think it is a very good save, but he shouldn't have had any chance to save it. I think Firmino, for whatever reason...
Do you think it was to do with the pace on the ball from Robertson? Because it is probably a yard too far for him.
Yeah, maybe he does have to just reach for it, but again, has he got time to take a touch? I don't know. I just think that's a very... He's world class. He's Brazil centre-forward, and not many of those are crap-footy, so he can do what he's tried to do. I just think sometimes with Firmino, he does try and do the impossible. Not the impossible, but the more difficult thing, because he's got the ability, and in his head he's probably thinking the last thing this goalie's expecting is me to try and bend the toe here in that corner.
I suppose that's it. When I'm running through on goal, I've got one trick to go to. Firmino's got to make a decision between the 3,000 different ways he could put the ball in the back of the net, and that might just be more difficult for him than just having one trick.
You know what, we're not brilliant at one-on-ones, all three of them,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah.
We're not. We've done a few of these right now where we've, you know, Salah at
Goodison last year.
Salah at Sheffield United this year, was it, when he goes through?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
We've had Mane, he's had a couple where you've done, again, not amazing at it. At times, we're not particularly brilliant at that, which is odd, because it's one of the easiest things you'd expect from a striker to be able to score that, but...
It's a different mentality, isn't it, when you're bearing down on a
player?
Yeah,
and again, maybe it's because, like I say, you've got so many options, you're trying to choose which one to go. Our best one-on-one player for a long time, Torres was amazing at it. Like, it was just a goal every single time. Daniel Sturridge was good at it, provided he could run fast enough to get there, because he'd always just go around the goalie and score. For whatever reason, at the minute, these three aren't, again, it's a minor, tiny little flaw in their game, so that we probably should score more of those. That should just be 2-0 on the game, should be dead. You know, and then, in the end, it doesn't hurt us, but it really, really could have.
You're right, it could have.
I would expect Liverpool's number 9 to score from there, if I'm honest.
And then, I think he was a Liverpool's number 9. He came on, Christian Benteke. Mm.
Yes, he was. He really was.
I
jinxed it.
I very, very nearly jinxed it, because the thing is, right, everyone will have probably seen it, and if you haven't already, we've broken the couch and it's now propped up on a load of books, and much like Liverpool side of
ben,
old,
that's why Ben's sitting there,
the lightweight. Yeah.
That's exactly why.
It's why Ben's sitting there, and I'm not. Yeah. If you're wondering why, we'd have needed a reinforced, but we'd be like 10 encyclopedias if it was me. We just got away with Stevie G's biography for now.
Some great authors on there, to be honest with you. Red Odyssey by Jeff Golden is absolutely brilliant. James Milner, obviously, I've not read that one yet, but I'm sure it is. Benitez, Simon Hughes is there, I think. Stephen Gerrard and Mark Platt, The Red Journey, very good as well. That wasn't in the agenda to plug them, but I think it's absolutely worth it. And very sturdy books.
Yeah,
as well.
Say, if you've got a table and he's boxing off James Milner's books,
yeah,
got you sorted.
We broke the couch. The books have fixed the couch. I can't remember where I was going before that.
Benteke, yeah,
that was it. Thank you, Ross. So you were listening after all that. Amazing. I very, very nearly jinxed it, because I asked Tom, who was sat in that chair, which is why I'm looking at Ben right now, have Palace had all three of their subs? And he said, yes. So I went, Benteke's fucking shit. They hadn't had all three of their subs. They'd had two. And Benteke comes on, and you just, like, at one point I was sat behind cushions when Palace were attacking, because Paul basically wanted to hurt me. He wanted to hurt me a lot more than normal.
You've never got over that in the Ash one, have you?
It's been going on since before then. I remember, do you remember when we were 2-0 up against Everton? And they drew 2-2 with us, and there was about fucking, we were 2-0 up quite early on. It was probably like 2010, 2011, something like that. And I was watching it with my brother, who's obviously a Blue and Paul. I mean, fucking hell, this is easy, isn't it? I wish every derby was like this, 2-0. So it's been going on for
bringing
years.
The ass on his crap, isn't he? Hull scores.
Yeah, that just happened to be live on fucking YouTube as well.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So that's why I check now.
Yeah.
Not my fault that I employ fucking idiots. Well, maybe it is my fault. It's totally my fault.
I'll say, yeah, you hired them. Someone needs to learn to count to three in this gaff. I think that's what the...
Me and Tom, by all accounts. Anyway, Christian Benteke nearly scored the fucking goal that opened about 2 minutes later, and the looks that everyone was giving me.
It was very...
Fucking hell, mate.
It was very, very close. He's got that... Okay, we've seen the goal at United, haven't we? He's definitely got that in his locker, and I don't get Benteke. I don't understand why he's not good, because he should be brilliant. He's got everything. He really has.
He's just got no confidence whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that the issue is he doesn't score goals. Like, he's very, very poo.
He
doesn't
wasn't
play a lot, though, does he?
Not anymore, he doesn't score goals.
That's because he doesn't score goals. Mm-hmm. For Villa, he scored. The reason he got the move because he was all right.
Bully, he does.
Yeah.
But I remember it was it Coutinho's first game. He come on as a sub and Villa were tonking us. Did he beat us about 3-0 or something like that? Like.
Yeah, he's done a few. He's done a few,
fucking ripped us a new arsehole.
To be fair, he does well for the goal as well. He sends Dexy Lovren down the river. And we're like a little step over. Yeah, you're just a jinx, mate. You need to just take notes. Just like subs, just like a ref. Just be a ref, just note down yellow cards and subs. Because I did watch the video afterwards, and as soon as you said it, Paul's face was like, you'd shit on his door. He was just like, what have you done? Like, we are losing this league title because you can't count to three. He was in a bad year. He really was.
He fucking gets his fucking retribution later on anyway. But yeah, Christian Benteke. Their goal though, Ben, that was an interesting one because Lovren's fuming because Trent gives the ball away high up the pitch and he's not able to get back and get the ball off Zaha. Then Lovren's on an island that he doesn't like to be on. Which is out wide with no support. Benteke does something that I was a bit surprised that he did. But from there on in, I actually thought it was world class, their goal.
Yeah, I thought, because we have the ball out the pitch, don't we? I actually knew about the goal before it had gone in. I stupidly checked the other scores and saw in that small window where I could have learned about a goal here because I was anyway. So
Why?
Because I'd added a notification for another game, so I was looking at that and then.
So
why is the
other game more important than us?
He just looked at us.
No, why?
He's a millennial.
Why?
He's a millennial.
I don't understand why people do it. Just watch the game.
Everton were getting beat.
So they always get beat.
Yeah, it wasn't that game. I can't explain it. I just saw a goal. It just happened.
I just can't fucking know.
It's like if you're watching one of these. Listen, I would never watch an illegal stream because it's illegal and it's against the law.
Well, we were reacting to Radio City.
Exactly.
We were just all looking at a radio.
I agree, and you should never do it. But I've been told that if you watch one of these streams, they sometimes have the chat on the side of the thing. And there's always people spoiling goals for you. I've been told that, again, I couldn't confirm this or deny it, but apparently that's a thing that happens.
There wasn't a chat on the radio.
No, yeah, sometimes there is. Oh. And then sometimes, for example, some fella might just go, Zaha! Really? and he's got the ball on the halfway line, and that could happen to some people, and some people are like, what? How's he score from here? It didn't happen to me, but it might have happened to
other
somebody.
People,
to Stefan.
Yeah.
From
nice, France.
Yeah. Yeah, so I
also support Liverpool.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was bald.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Stefan. He knew the goal was going. He knew. And he was thinking when Zaha got the ball on the halfway line.
How they got the ball. How they scored from here.
Is he going to score goal of the season? Because Stefan has found out that the goal's gone in by some fellas. It was Zaha 1-1 on the side of the chaffing. Stefan should have turned the chat off, shouldn't he?
Don't be like Stefan.
Don't be like Stefan. Don't break the law. It's naughty.
Yeah, there you go. He got his comeuppance there, didn't he, old Stefan? Great goal.
Great goal, yeah. Yeah, because I think obviously the way they break forward, Zaha then moves central. So I think that throws everybody a little bit because I think it's Benteke out wide who then brings back in. He gets the better of Lobs. You know, I think you said at the time it might be a different situation. Lovren just doesn't fare well in those situations. There was a way at Genk the other week where he gets bullied and that's how we concede the goal late on. But you know, the ball then falls to Zaha and obviously we're still trying to get back, but he just keeps his composure. And to be fair to him, I know I've said earlier on that I still don't think his end product is brilliant, but it's a really good little sidestep. And Robertson, who's tucked himself in, you know, just sells himself a little bit, and then it's a good finish as well. And I think it's just the fact that we've lost the ball so high up the pitch and it's taken us so long to get back, and then the confusion of Zaha standing moves. Central. I think just knocks
us
a bit.
I thought Townsend's ball was brilliant. Yeah. That's like one of those last millisecond decisions to play the ball across, because I think he's shooting and he just pulls it back and just plays a brilliant ball. And then the greatest bit of skill that Zaha did is not touching the ball and letting Robertson go.
And it does Origi as well. Origi's coming from behind and Robertson's coming across, and again he kind of sells them both down the river with just a little feint, and then the finish is class. Like, it really is. And that's the thing with Zaha, is that when you watch that, you can see why. Again, I've always rated them, but maybe because I've seen him more against us than everyone else's. But if he did that more often, he would be playing for Real Madrid or Liverpool or whoever, I don't know. In the summer, the only teams who wanted him really were Everton, and there was talk of Arsenal until the price got a little bit high for him. I think Everton were prepared to pay, apparently were prepared to pay what it was. There's probably a reason why. It's that he doesn't do it more often, because
it's his first goal of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's had a cob on for a few weeks apparently, and he hasn't been happy, and he wanted the move. He
should be happy he fucking stayed and didn't go to Everton.
He's got a minute in time, yeah. Maybe that's what happened. He's got the notifications on as well. He's realised Everton are 2-0 down to Norwich. Thinking, thank fucking Christ for that. I'll smile again now. It's like, he can be amazing. And maybe just needs a coach or a manager or a team to get more out of him. Because that was brilliant. It was a really, really well-worked goal. Before we move on to... And it was brilliant. Someone should just foul Zaha on halfway line. Someone just boot him. The yellow card that Fabinho took earlier, someone needs to take that yellow card there.
Trent and Fabinho are the two tacking him, I think.
Yeah, so just next time maybe just kick him. Just take the yellow.
It's interesting that Henderson had been taken off at that point and conceded the goal, because that's exactly what happened at Manchester City as well.
I think he was taken off in the 79th and he scored in the 81st or 83rd or something like that.
He keeps taking Henderson off, doesn't he? I don't know if it's a fitness thing or whatever.
I'd love to know the distance he's ran in those times and why he's taking him off. Because I think that's probably the only stat that you can't get that might explain why he's being taken off.
He was ill at City as well.
Yeah, he was, obviously.
It's a bad sub, that. I praise Klopp's subs. He's made some really good subs all season. No, he's done well at it. Again, Sheffield United, he makes some good subs, and throughout the season, he's done really well at it.
There's also Napoli on Wednesday as well.
But I think it's a bad sub.
At 1-0.
At 1-0 to ask Milner to come on and get up to speed. And by the way, your job is to mark the one player
But Milner moves to the left. Yeah. So Wijnaldum moves to the right.
You're
two changes in one.
Yeah, unless, again, I might be wrong, and Henderson might just be absolutely flogged and he has to come off. I would get it. I don't know. I don't like that sub at 1-0. I think Henderson had been doing well enough against Zaha that why would you want to change it again? Unless he's just given the nod, say, I am absolutely spent. Excuse me, maybe he just wants Milner on the pitch to try and sort the game out. Would make sense, but I would do that. If you want that, enough, I'd take Wijnaldum off.
Yeah.
I think it was a poor sub. I think you are changing the one, but that's their go-to. If they're going to score, it's probably going to come down that left-hand side, isn't it? I'm not sure why you would do it again, unless Henderson was absolutely goose, but he didn't look like he was jaded in certain games. You can tell Henderson's probably needs to come off, because he starts running with the kink in his neck. Yeah. It's like an horse trying to get going a bit more. He starts giving it that. he didn't look like that was happening this time. He looked all right to me.
And Ross, it didn't last for long. They were ahead for like 3.5 minutes before we finally put the ball in the back of the net again.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, again, I said before, I get into that mentality of this is the one, but this Liverpool side just don't give up and take the chances. And I watched it back and Palace left Van Dijk unmarked and I let him have a free run at the ball. I mean,
who does that?
Yeah, exactly. Who does that? What do you expect? But you know, they had bodies on the line. I think there's about 3 or 4 people on the floor at one point. It's actually a really good finish by Firmino as well, because there's 10 people from. Yeah, and I think he's got Mane just kind of blocking off the goal. So he's got to get it in a tight gap, but make that split second decision to go, well, that's where I'm putting it. And sound.
It's probably a good job he didn't toe poke that one, to be fair, because he did. It was a nice little left footed finish from him there. I love the fact that Salah was coming on, because you see the celebrations and Salah's completely stripped, celebrating with Jurgen Klopp, and then we don't see Salah and we see Joe Gomez. But that just tells you, Ben, exactly what Klopp's mindset is, and it has been all season long.
Need to win this game. I think, again, as I touched on earlier, I think the fact that City have already won there this season, Klopp will be looking at, you know, all his data and all that, and going, well, City have got the 3 points in this fixture, so we need to get the three points.
He's willing to risk one to lose. He's willing to lose that one to gain three, isn't he, this year? We've had this conversation on various shows. Sheffield is the one that springs to mind, isn't it? He's willing to go for it. Rightly so, you've got to.
More managers should be.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? The draws, whatever. Just go try and win. On the goal itself, Palace man mark, don't he? Is it a bit of both?
Not Van Dijk, didn't.
Not Van Dijk. I wonder what's happened. It looks clever, though, because Lovren does kind of. The run kind of blocks each other off.
Lovren and Benteke are hard.
So I think the plan is for let Van Dijk come into our area and then we'll go with him. But you get blocked off. It's odd. I think if I was playing Liverpool, I would man mark Van. Even if we go zonal, I would still probably have someone close. You don't want him having a free. That he had like 5 yards, and the space was huge.
The problem with just and this is just an opinion. The problem with just one person man marking a big guy is it ruins the zonal, because there's the three in front of the defensive line on the edge of the six that block players off. If you're asking a player to then block or not block, it's too easy for two men to go either way round people. And when that happens, Van Dijk's free. That might well have been what happened. I haven't watched it back enough, but that's the problem. You have to go all in on one system or the other.
Yeah, true.
I don't think you can go.
But then block him.
A great mix.
Because then no one's blocking him, because
his run starts from the edge of the box.
Yeah, he's on the D, and I was watching. At first, I thought. I could see it, and I was thinking, are you going to do that? You know, where they sometimes edge the box and someone volleys it in. I think Paul Scholes did it a couple of times. I was thinking, are they setting that up for Van Dijk? Because it was obvious. He was just on his own, and I was thinking, why is no one marking him? Have we got something planned there? And we obviously did. It was that.
But then, like, you know, me and you are big NFL fans and stuff, and I've watched Van Dijk do so many things to cause confusion on corners.
Yeah.
He quite often is a decoy by just before the corner's happening, he's waving his hands in the air like this. Everyone's looking at him going, shit, they're doing something with Van Dijk, and we hit it near post and score. Yeah. So they could have been like, oh God, we've seen this before. We know Van Dijk's just a fucking thing on the edge of the area. 9 times out of 10, that might be the way.
It's odd to let him off that run, because if the ball's on his head, he'll score. It falls to his feet, and to be fair, he does well to manufacture a shot. He changes body shape well. And then from there, Palace have an absolute shocker. I think Schlupp's on his arse, and he nearly scores an own goal. MacArthur kind of does something, Van Aanholt kind of just toeies it to Firmino. It's like, it's a goal. I've seen Liverpool concede that goal a few times, where it's just an absolute shit show of like, it just needed one fella to put his foot on the ball and then absolutely bladder it somewhere. But it was kind of like, they were all in each other's way, so there was no clear path to smash it somewhere, because it's going to hit someone on the head. It was bizarre. I think you see Van Aanholt afterwards.
The mad thing is, there didn't seem to be a Liverpool player in those.
No,
four
that's what I'm saying. It was just each other. It was like to me to you, and I think they all blame Schlupp at the end, because all three of them look at him like, as I say, why are you on the floor and why are you trying to score an own goal? Because he runs back and he kind of kicks it towards his own goal, and then that's what causes the chaos. I think as he goes in, someone, you know, when they do that thing where they boot the ball away, I think it hits him while he's on the floor, and then you all just look at him and just say,
you fucking idiot.
What the fuck are you doing? Why are you playing for our team?
Yeah.
that's the look they give him.
And then finally, the player that you wanted us to sign, Steve, misses a fucking open goal. Just the 3 points. I can see why you wanted to sign him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why he plays for Crystal Palace, because he does that. I wasn't sure, we were speaking to Ben before, like, how is he that free? And we watched it upstairs. Mm. Basically, Manny doesn't track him. No, he does run past them.
Mane's with him on the edge of the box. I recognise that. But I think you only have to look at what Robertson was doing to also say it's not just fair to blame Mane.
No, I don't think I blame... It's one of those where it's a second ball. Liverpool don't defend particularly well. It happens a lot when we defend corners that Robertson ends up playing right back for the minute, doesn't he? Because he's always the near post area. I just think if I would like my winger, if he sees their winger going that way, to go, you know what, I'll probably just best go with him.
Yeah.
And he is an acres.
He's in absolutely acres of space, and I think there's blame to be apportioned to both Robertson and Mane in that one.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But then, like I say, it's an absolute sitter.
I think given the situation, I'm with you. Given the time of the game and that you're about to win, Mane doesn't need to be going anywhere. He just tuck in and see the game out. You know, we're winning the game. You know, it's not like we're looking to push forward ourselves and grab a late goal or a late equaliser. Just tuck in and fill that gap. There's clearly a gap there. You know, okay, I need to see it again and properly watch what Robertson's doing. But you just need an extra man there in that situation for me to fill.
Yeah, I think I definitely disagree. I do think that Robbo probably started making his way to left back. I think that's what they were thinking was happening. I think the switch was probably back on, and Robbo ends up in the middle of the crowd of Liverpool players and then goes, shit, it's gone over the fucking top.
Yeah, he knows he's in trouble.
So, for me, both, but not arsed. I struggled with this, Ross, and I know you're going to be doing the Man of the Match show later, but if we can just have just the player Man of the Match from each of you.
Just three contenders for me, probably. I think just the one. I'll go Fabinho.
Okay.
I thought Van Dijk or Henderson.
Van Dijk.
Yeah, Van Dijk for me.
Van Dijk.
I think.
Yeah. All right, now, who were your three?
Van Dijk, Fabinho and Mane.
I think Henderson deserves a shout. I give Van Dijk, some of the headers that Van Dijk was winning were big, big headers. They're goal headers that, you know, the ball's like a magnet. It must be horrible because your game plan must be keep the ball away from him. And yet he heads everything. You know, it's where it either finds its way to or he finds its way to it. I imagine it's probably the latter every single time. There's ones where he's running down the side of the pitch and he's just like, he just cruises. And like where Lovren gets in trouble against Benteke, Van Dijk would just box that off. Mm-hmm. He's just so much better. He's like, it's amazing how good he is. Like I think Klopp said, didn't he, Ballon d'Or-wise, you know, if you give the Ballon d'Or to the best player of the generation, Messi wins it every time. If you give it to the best player of the last 12 months, then it's Virgil van Dijk. And it's hard to argue. It's those hidden, not so much hidden, they are moments that we've seen Liverpool concede from before. Corners into the box, crosses into the box, where not only does he head it, he heads it absolutely fucking miles.
I don't think I could, if you were picking between the centre-halves, I couldn't tell you who was better.
I thought
Lovren was just as good.
Yeah.
Off one watch. Yeah. By the way, I'm going to watch it back before I hopefully do a stats and tactics later on, which will be available on the redmentv.com. But that has been the final word. We'll do the Around the League show later on. We normally dive a little bit into some of the weekend's games, but the show's run on a little bit. Ben, you'll be doing the Around the League show
later. It's going to be so good this week. We've got Pochettino, Mourinho. We've got Man United being really, really bad. Some weeks there's a little bit of like a dry spell for content. There's loads to talk about this week. Head over to the website.
RedmenTV.com, £5 a month. First month is free. About 30 hours on that first free month of content you'll be able to get. But don't forget to go over to theathletic.co.uk/RedmenTV to get your 50% off your yearly subscription for that. It really is brilliant. There's no ads, no annoying pop-ups. Don't forget to like this video, smash that like button, subscribe to RedmenTV on YouTube. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.